little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow.
This song is a Sunday school staple, but those weren't the original words.
Within the prison cell, we are waiting for the day that shall come to open wide the iron door.
Songwriter George F. Root penned the tune Tramp, Tramp, Tramp in 1864, the year of the Battle of Mobile Bay. It was about a Union soldier writing his mother about life in a Confederate prison camp.
Tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, comrades, they will call.
And that was a familiar song here. We're in a clearing near the center of the ghost town of Cahaba, Alabama. The Civil War prison camp called Castle Morgan stood here.
Now we should move fast, because if the guards would catch you here next to the wall, that's called the deadline, and they could shoot you dead.
Linda Derry is the site director at the park. We walk around the grounds of the prison that once held as many as 3,000 men at one time.
And there wasn't any marking, so you just had to remember not to get close to the wall. And several men reportedly were shot by the guards.
And it's guards and the prisoners that give the historians the most vivid details on life at Castle Morgan. Both captor and captive wrote letters home or kept journals.
I write this evening because I have nothing else to do, not because I have anything of importance to record.
Prisoner Melville Cox Robertson was a member of the 93rd Indiana Volunteer Infantry.
I have tried life in a good many ways, but prison life is rather the most monotonous thing yet. There is so little of congeniality of spirit among those with whom I am associated that I often feel myself almost completely alone in the midst of 500 men.
My dear brother and sister, it seems a long time since I heard from you or any of my connection. I am very anxious to hear from you all.
This monotony even carried over to the guards. Confederate soldier G.M. Wilson's job was to watch over men like Robertson.
I am still at Cahaba, the same place where you heard from me last. I have not heard from you since last spring. I want to know what has become of you all. I have not heard from home since I was at your house. I have wrote and wrote and never could get any answer.
One of the stories he told my mother was that the best meal he had while he was in prison was a piece of bread that a horse had stepped on.
Arlene Chisholm lives in Northport, and she doesn't need old letters or history books to have some idea of what life was like at Castle Morgan. Her great-grandfather fought in the Union Army and was imprisoned here.
And he reached down after the horse moved on by and ate that and said that was really the tastiest food he had.
Castle Morgan opened its gates in June of 1863. Despite the horror stories associated with POW camps, Park Director Linda Derry says Castle Morgan only lost around 144 captives.
When they went to parole at the end of the war, they were noticed for being the healthiest of all the prisoners because they were far from the front. There was food for them to eat. I mean, it wasn't anything great, but it was almost as good as what the Confederate soldiers were getting.
Along with the hardships of captivity, there were signs of normality, too.
I was walking on the principal residence street when two young ladies drove leisurely along in a single carriage.
Some of the men were even able to stroll around the town of Cahaba, like First Sergeant Charles Sombardo of the 12th Iowa.
In passing, I must have glanced at them, for they tossed a rose from the back of the carriage. I secured the flower and pressed it to my lips. They waved their pretty hands and drove away.
Many of the men held at Castle Morgan at the end of the war did not make it home. After surviving combat and for some years in a prison camp, Derry says another tragedy was waiting on their way home.
And what happened was they crowded them on this boat called the Sultana on the Mississippi, and somewhere right above Memphis, the boilers exploded and killed most of them. And most of those men were from here. It's considered the largest maritime disaster in U.S. history.
This story is personal for Arlene Chisholm. We met her earlier in this story. Her great-grandfather, Samuel Jenkins, was a prisoner at Castle Morgan. Chisholm says he was also one of the survivors of the explosion aboard the Sultana.
Samuel, who was a great swimmer, and that probably saved his life because he jumped from the upper deck down to the lower, and there he was injured on a large coil of rope, and he got a really extreme hernia that he had to live with the rest of his life.
It's these stories and efforts by organizations like the Alabama Historical Commission that help preserve this often forgotten piece of Alabama history. I'm Stan Ingold. APR News in Cahaba, Alabama.